They were not that smart in 1967, you know.
So we're learning a little bit.
DNA and everything else.
These great moments should be a schut for all of Am Yisrael. So Mesilat Yesharim in the third chapter is dealing with the question of
good day.
Thank you.
Good day, Danny.
Dealing with the question of examining what we do. And what we learned last week is that everybody has their own mission, their own set of challenges and contributions, and a person has to look for, you know, his own tachbulot. You know, what is, as Avi said last week, ki betachbulot ta'asa milchama. You have to be cunning when you engage in battle. You know, you have to outsmart and think around. So everybody has to have their own tachbula. Like, you know, maybe a person wants to learn Torah, but he has a hard time when he sits down to learn. He always gets distracted. So maybe a tachbula is to have a chavruta. So there's a chavruta who's also wanting to learn. And it's hard, you know. I'm going to be distracted. I'm going to be distracting him. It won't be fair. I'm going to feel bad. So a person takes advantage of his desire not to feel uncomfortable. And in that way, he succeeds in this tachbula of doing that which he knows is right.
So, in the milchama, it's a subset of nishmarta v'nashotechem.
That's true.
It follows.
That's right.
You do whatever you can to survive.
That's right.
And this includes
being
outsmarting your enemy,
right,
who's also smart.
Very smart.
Yeah.
Very, very smart. So, says Mesilat Yesharim, we have to examine what we're doing and periodically take a step back and look at what it is and reassess. So, Davar Zeh, right over where the blue Erevin Yud Gimel Amud Bet, Davar Zeh Hu Di'unu Chachaminu Zichron Levracha Ba'amram, is what our sages say, Noach Lo La'adam Shelo Nivra Yoter Mi Shenivra. Man would have been better off not having been created than having been created. However, Achshav Shenivra, now that he was created, Yifashpesh B'ma'asav, he should examine his deeds. Yika Da'amri, others say Yimashmesh B'ma'asav, he should touch his deeds, he should paw through his deeds, he should finger his deeds. So V'tir'esh Shnei L'shanot Hin Shtei Azharot Tovotim O'ilot Mot. So you'll see that these two phrases are both warnings. K'nei Pishpush B'ma'asim, the examining of deeds, to look at all of the deeds that we do and to examine. Are we doing some things that we shouldn't be doing? Maybe these are not the mitzvot of Hashem. Whenever we find something that we shouldn't be doing, we should stop it. We should stop doing those things. But to touch the deeds is to look even at the good. Lachkor v'lirot hayesh b'inyanam eza pniya shelo tova. Maybe the good that we do has a certain degree of insincerity. O eza chelek ra. Maybe there's something bad about it. Sheitztarech la'asiro leva'aro. That we have to remove that bad to try to make our good pure good. Hareza kim mashmesh bebeget. That's like when you're touching through a garment, livchon atov v'chazaku, to see, is it strong? Is it good? O chalash, maybe it's worn out, o balui, it's worn through. Ken yimashmesh b'masav, we have to look at the deeds. Livchon tchunatam b'tachlit avchana, to examine them with the ultimate examination, ad shi yishar zach v'naki, till the deed itself is clean. Klal adavar, the rule is like this, yeh adam ma'ayena ma'asav kulam. Look at all of your actions. Umefakeach al kol drachav. And look at all of your ways. Shelo laniach latzmo hergel ra midara. Don't leave a habit. If it's a bad habit, don't leave it just because it's a habit. Koshken aveira v'feshan. Certainly don't leave sins and crimes. V'inei ro'et tzorech la'adam. And I think that there is a need, in my opinion, shiyeh midaktek v'shokel drachav dvar yom b'yomo. A person should look at his ways every day. Because so Harim Agdolim, like the big merchants, Asher Yefalsu Tamid Kolos Kehim L'man Lo Yitkalkalu. Every day, the big merchants, they look at their business. Every day, they re-examine. Are they doing it right? Is the customer service good? Is the product good? Is the marketing good? And are the assets being watched carefully? They look at everything every day. So therefore, a person should do it every day. Yikva itim l'sha'ot l'zeh. A person should set time every day. Shelo yeh mishkalo arai. It shouldn't just be that, oh, once he checks out what he's doing. Elo b'kvi'ut gadol, but rather with a lot of permanence. Ki rava toladahu, because there's a lot of good that will come from it. Chachamim zichronom levracha horunu. Our sages have taught us, b'feirush, explicitly, tzorach ha-cheshbon hazeh, the need for this constant calculation. Humash amruzu zal, that's what the Gemara says in Baba Basra. The verse says, al kein yomru ha-moshlim bo'u cheshbon. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Al kein yomru ha-moshlim b'yitzram. Therefore, those who rule over their urges will say, "Bo nechashev cheshbono shel olam." Let's make a calculation. Hefsed mitzvah. What do we gain, or what do we lose by doing a mitzvah? Keneged schara versus what do we gain? Schar aveira. What do we gain by doing an aveira? Keneged hefseda versus what we lose. V'zeh. This is ki ha'etza amitit hazos. This true advice. Lo yuchlu latet ota v'lo lirot amita ela otam shekvar yatzu mitachat yad yitzram u'mashlubo. Right? It's hamoshlim, those who already rule over their urges, they can give an analysis. Kimishu adayin chavush b'masar yitzro, if somebody is still a slave to his urge, ein einav ro'ot ha'emet hazot, his eyes don't see the truth. Ve'eino yachol la'akira, he can't recognize the truth. Ki hayetzer misameit inav mamash, because the urge literally blinds a person. Ineu kolech b'choshech sheyesh lefanav michsholot. He's like walking in the darkness. There are all sorts of obstacles. Ein inav ro'ot otam. His eyes don't even see them. Hu mashamru. That's what our sages say. Tashas choshech v'yihi laila. Place darkness. It'll be night. Ze ha'olam hazeh shedom l'laila. This is this night, which is like night. And Ramchal goes on to say that night has really two qualities. Number one, that a person doesn't see, so he might walk over a stumbling block. Number two, a person during the night looks to him like a pillar. So there's number one, that you don't see where you're going. And number two, you misidentify. You think something is one thing, and really, it's something else entirely. And so Ramchal is saying that that's the challenge when we have to analyze our ways. We have to, number one, look at what we're doing. Maybe there are things that we should stop doing. Maybe there are aveirot. Maybe there are things that are not good that we should. Or maybe there are good things that we're not doing that we should start doing. That's one thing. But then there's another thing, which is maybe we're misidentifying things. Even in what we think is a mitzvah, maybe it's not such a big mitzvah. Maybe we're not really doing it as a mitzvah, and that's another big challenge to try to identify that which is real and to reject that which is wrong. We find that the Gemara says in Chulin, and when Yaakov Avinu was on the other side of the river, the verse says, Vayeavek ish imo. He was a man who wrestled with him. So the word is ish, a man. So who was this man? So Rashi says, Saroshel Esav. It was the angel of Esav. Every nation has an angel. This was Esav's angel, and Esav's angel was fighting with Yaakov, wrestling on the other side of the river. The Gemara says in Chulin, how did he appear? So two opinions. One opinion is he appeared ka'akum nidmelo. He appeared like a real heathen, like a non-Jewish, pagan, idol worshiper, and he was fighting with Yaakov. The other idea, ka'talmid chacham nidmelo. He appeared like a Talmud chacham. There was this man with a big white beard and payas and a rabbinic garb and the rabbinic coat and the rabbinic hat and a gartel. It looked like a tzaddik. And this tzaddik is fighting and wrestling with Yaakov to try to suffocate him and kill him and destroy him. So why would Esav appear like a Talmid Chacham? So the commentators say Esav represents the Yetzer Hara. And really, that's the point of the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes he gets us to do what's wrong. We know it's wrong, but our urges overcome. But sometimes he gets us to do things by claiming that they're really right. He misidentifies Aveira and calls Aveira mitzvah. And that's another big challenge, to examine things and make sure that we don't allow for the misidentification, for the false narratives, that we have to work hard to have the rigor to see what is really right as to be totally right, to do what's right, and what's wrong should be wrong. You know, there's a funny story I say about Rav Yonasan Eibshitz. There's a halacha that when you see an unusual sight, you make a bracha of Mashana HaBrios. Blessed is God who makes unusual creatures. So if you went out to Africa and you saw some amazing creature, you'd make a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Mashana HaBrios. Blessed be God, you make unusual creatures. So there was a tiny midget. He was a 50-year-old man, but he was, I don't know, 2 feet tall. Comes into a shul, and a man runs over. He says, "One second, you wait right here." And he grabs a sitter, looks for the page, and says, "Oh, here, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, blessed be God, Mashana HaBrios, who makes unusual creatures." So this man is, maybe in his mind, he's doing a mitzvah, he's reciting the bracha, but he's actually doing an aveira, because he's making someone else feel bad, causing someone else to have chalishut hadat, to feel weak, to feel lose his spirit, lose his encouragement. You know, you could even say maybe he's, if there are other people around, he's embarrassing him in public. It's malvin pnei chaveru berabim, and yet he, in his mind, thought it was a mitzvah. So as Mr. Ati Shemim says, we have to take a step back to think, not only, you know, what things are wrong, what things we should be doing, we're not doing, but even the things that we are doing, and we think it's a mitzvah, it may not be a mitzvah. It may be the angel of Esav, Ketalmud Chacham Nidmalo, who's appearing as a Talmud Chacham and saying, this is a great thing, and this is wonderful, and this is a mitzvah, and you should do it. And really, not only is it not a mitzvah, it's the opposite. It's not even a mitzvah. It's just a mischaracterization of what is a mitzvah. And that takes cheshbon, it takes calculation to step back and to think and to examine. You know, we see it all over in the world. You open the news, right? It's so crazy. They were talking that in Gaza, Nabuch, the farmers who live near Gaza. So these are poor people. Farmers are very poor. They have lots of debts to buy the machinery and to plant, and many times they don't make profits. It's a very hard life. They work long hours. What's going on now, the last month or so, is that the Rishayim in Gaza, they take kites and they attach flammable things to the kites. They'll put a Molotov cocktail on the kite. They'll put a container of sugar with burning gasoline next to each other, and then they'll fly the kite over the fence. They know the kite's going to fall somewhere in an area. It'll fall somewhere. A fire will start, and the sugar will make it burn longer. And they cause huge damage, you know. Nebuchadnezzar, these poor farmers, these things get burned. Nebuchadnezzar, it's terrible. It's really, what's the difference between shooting a rocket to start a fire or using a kite to start a fire? It's starting a fire, it's an assault, and so it's a terrible thing. And somehow, and you read certain newspapers, they say, you know, the people in Gaza, they're engaged in nonviolent protest. These are the followers of Mahatma Gandhi. They, you know, these are peaceful protests. They have the right to peaceful protest. How come the Israeli military is using such a harsh hand, live fire, against peaceful protesters? How is this peaceful protest? Because it's a different form. It's a kite instead of being a rocket. But it's the same thing. It's a fire. It's to kill. It's to harm. Since when is a fire a peaceful protest?
It's actually worse.
And it's even worse.
It's worse because the rockets have done absolutely no damage.
And these things do a lot of damage.
Exactly. Yeah.
But we see this is the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara takes a wicked thing and says, no, it's not wicked. Talmud Chacham Nidmelo. And it's even true within ourselves. Sometimes we do things, we think we're doing a big mitzvah, And it may not even be a mitzvah. It may be that our motivations aren't sincere. It may even be that we're causing harm with it. So Mesilat Yesharim says that's what we have to say. We have to look at what we are doing, both to examine the things that are wrong, things that we know are wrong, as well as even to examine the things that are right and see maybe those things that are right are off base. We're mischaracterizing things. Look at what an amazing law this is. Right, this idea that life is night. The darkness of night can make two mistakes. It can either cover the eye, he doesn't see what's in front of him. Or it fools him. He thinks a pillar is a person. He thinks a person is a pillar. This is true about the physicality of this world. It's a darkness of the night to the eye of the mind. It causes two mistakes. He doesn't see all the stumbling blocks on the path of the world. And you have all these fools, they're walking. And they fall and they get damaged without being afraid of falling. They're not noticing. The verse says, the way of the wicked is a darkness. They don't even know what they're falling about. And the verse says, Arum ra'a ra'a, the cunning one saw wickedness, v'nistar, uftayim avru v'nanshu, and the fools violated and were punished. And the verse says, uksil mit'aber v'oteach, the fool, you know, he fills himself up, he's trust, he's sure. Kilibam barilam ka'ulam, their hearts are so strong, they're like the temple. V'noflim, and they fall, terem yadu ma'amich shol klal, without even being aware of the stumbling block. The second mistake, even worse than the first, to corrupt vision, to see what is bad, to embarrass somebody, to say Mishana Abrios, and to think it's good, it's a bracha. But fake news, right? So, but it's more than fake news. There's like a psychological condition. What's it called? To projection, or like to see the exact opposite. It's like
something good happens.
Orwellian. You know,
it's a negative way and a positive way.
But even worse, it's something, let's say, great, and it's turned into something terrible. Mm-hmm. Something which is terrible is turned into something great.
Right.
It's like a olam hafuch. It's an overturned world. And because of this totally warped set of glasses, the bad deeds get strengthened. Ki ein dai shechaser mehem riata emet lirot harasher neged pnihem. Not only do they not see that they're doing wrong, they're harming themselves. But they think that they have proofs, that they have experiments that confirm their craziness. This is the worst evil. It surrounds them and brings them to the snare where they fall down into a deep ditch. You know, I'm reminded of, during the Oslo Accords, I was in Israel that year, for my year in Israel, and it was so crazy. The government said they wanted to make peace, okay? That's everybody. Most people in Israel would love peace. They don't want their children to face danger of war. So they said, we're going to make peace by bringing in Yasser Arafat, giving all of his terrorists guns, and his terrorists are going to kill the worst terrorists, his terrorists are going to work for us, and we're going to have peace. So there were people who said, you're not going to have peace. Yasser Arafat is going to use his guns against you. Yasser Arafat's going to make the areas he's in into a city of refuge. And, you know, when a terrorist kills, he's going to run to Yasser Arafat land. You're not going to be able to run after him. He's not going to work for you. It's going to be worse. It's not going to be peace. They said, no, we're going to make peace. So they did it. They brought in Yasser Arafat. And the amount of terrorism, unfortunately, skyrocketed from having Nebuch 25 casualties in a year. It went to 250 casualties in a year. And the terrorists ran to these cities of refuge. And Yasser Arafat said, this is our plan to destroy Israel step by step. And then you had people getting up and saying, no, this is the proof that this is working. The proof that it's working. Because the forces against terror, the forces against peace are increasing the terror because they don't want peace. So these are the sacrifices of peace. It was like so Orwellian. But peace means that people live. People are dying. It's not peace. How can you say the more that people die, the more terror there is, the more this is peace? This is so turned on its head, unfortunately. It was so turned on its head.
The Americans, the way about coming to Israel for peace, what happens? It's peace. Because that's when they want to keep everybody out of Israel.
Maybe, right? So that's what Yisrael Yisharim says. This is, in life, this is such a huge challenge that there are things that we know are wrong, but even worse are the things that we've convinced ourselves are right, and they're totally wrong, and we think that we're doing mitzvos, and we think it's a good thing that we're doing.
Yeah, but if we're under the spell of our Yetzer Hara,
how do you break it?
Yeah, how do you break it, and how do you realize that you're like under a spell, and that what you're like seeing and believing is false?
So this is what Mesillas Yesharim says. You know what the advice is to step away, and to analyze, and to also be someone who fights habit, right? Habit is so difficult to break because we're in this habit, we've invested so much, we're so deep into this concept, we've acted this way for so many years, right? How can we change? What am I going to say, that the way I've acted was wrong till now? I mean, what about my ego? What about, we've invested so much in our paths that it's very hard for us to break away. But Mesillas Yesharim says he thinks that the way to solve this is by stepping out and every day analyzing what we're doing, and to be someone who says to himself, the fact that I was doing it till now is not a reason why I should continue doing it. Habit is the darkness of this world. No, if it's good, let me do it. If it's not good, let me do something else. And let me examine. And if I examine constantly, and I'm measuring constantly, then a person finds that he keeps improving. He has to keep re-examining, questioning even the things that he thinks are right, and he thinks he's doing good. Maybe he's not doing good. Maybe it's not such a mitzvah. We have to re-examine. We have to look. And in that way, we overcome the urge. The urge is itself an animal. So it's not thinking. But we have thought, and we have analysis. We say, well, is this the right thing? Is this the good thing? No, let me do different. I'm going to do differently. That constant re-examination and the desire to experiment and to try new and to be new, that's the way to overcome these challenges. Because otherwise, the life of habit may be terrible. Maybe it's great, halavai, but it may be terrible. And we may be doing things that are aveiros, and we think that we're doing mitzvos. But if we step back all the time, and we keep examining, and we keep questioning, then a person finds the right thing. If you look at the very bottom here of the page, Amnam ha'et, mahi ha'etza shehem nostim lanu. What is the advice? The third line. Bo'u cheshbon. Bo'u nechashev cheshbono shel olam. We have to make analyses. Ki kvar heim nisu v'ro v'yadu shezeh levado hu aderech ha'amiti la'gi adam ala tov asher u'mevakesh v'lo zulaseh. A person should always be thinking. And ask for a set time. What's the right path that a person should go? And then he should examine his deeds. If they are on the right path. In this way, It'll be easy for him to straighten his path. Kmosha Kasav Omer. The verse says it. Palas ma'agal raglecha. Weigh the ways of your feet. V'chol drachecha yikonu. All your paths will be correct. V'omer. Nach besa drachenu v'nach kora. Let's examine our ways. Let's question. V'nashuva ad Hashem. Then we'll come back all the way to God. We have to be open to questioning. And we have to examine and analyze. And make changes. And look to make changes. And in that way, hopefully we'll keep getting to the better place.
Yeah, but this only applies to the general Jewish population.
Right.